You're listening to the Board Game Snobs podcast, a ridiculous podcast with ridiculous hosts that discuss ridiculous things. And any mention of board games is purely coincidental. And so, without further ado, and with a heavy dollop of shame and embarrassment on my part, I give you the Board Game Snobs.
Sorry, I didn't get it. I thought we weren't starting.
G.
You spelling it out?
Oh.
Look between the keyboards. Well, did you see that trend they're doing now?
Mm-mm.
Where, like, on your keyboard, look between this letter and this letter, and it's supposed to be. You haven't seen that?
What am I supposed to see?
I don't know. It's like a letter that means something. It's stupid.
Between the keyboard?
No, between this letter and this letter on the keyboard, and there's another letter. Like between J and, what's the one?
J and K.
Yeah, look between J and K. What's between J and K? The letter between J and K.
H-I-J-K. There is no letter between J and K.
Okay, pick two letters and there's one in between them.
Between J and L is K.
Okay, that's what they'd say. Look between J and L.
K.
And then that's like supposed to mean something. This is a trend that this happens.
It's foolishness.
This is foolishness.
It's foolishness.
This is foolishness. I don't know why I'm bringing it up, because you start spelling things. That's the first thing that came to mind, because I was ranting about this.
Just looking about new ways to, just thinking about new ways to start the podcast.
Oh, we don't need to do that.
But people love old format. They love the same. They love to tune in and hear the same thing.
It's comforting.
The same way
it's board been game done. Stops. For 300 episodes.
Years.
302 episodes. 304? 303?
People want to tune in and hear the same setup, the same format, the same things. Oh, and now it's time for the news segment. Oh, now it's they love the segments.
I know, but there's something comforting about something.
I know, and I get it. I get it.
You do?
But unfortunately, we are the most unformatted show, unless unformatted is a format.
It is a format.
It's a format unto itself.
It is. It's a sense of guided chaos.
We tried to format this show.
We
had drops created.
Didn't work.
We've used them sporadically.
No.
And to not good effect most oftentimes. And we use them once and then forget about it. And
copyright strikes.
30 years later, we use another one.
Yeah. I'm not big on that. Not a big.
You had half of them created the first time we started this.
And the reason I had them created, because I thought that was like an easy segue into things. And then I realized that it's not us. It's not a way. It's not something that we need. Maybe we need it, but we're not going to do it. And so if you're not going to do it, why have it?
Although they are nice. I don't know. Even when I'm watching like YouTube shows. And they have their drops and then they have this music and now it's time for, and they like take 10 seconds out of the show to put the letters up there for whatever segment this is. I'm like, they could have just started talking about what they wanted to talk about instead of doing this whole take up time to let me know this is what we're fixing to talk about.
You know why that works though? Because previous episode, callback, which you're famous for, we could do a drop right here. Callback. last episode, you talked about how you would binge watch something, but you wouldn't watch an 8-hour movie. You'd watch 8 hours of a series, but not 8-hour movie.
Right.
There's a reason for that, because there is a bookend. It's opened and shut. It's the beginning and end of each episode. And whenever there is a cut in a scene, because there's many movies that have...
It's like a chapter. I can put my bookmark there and come back to it if I want to.
Which you won't, because you have no memory anyways, and most people don't. To remember what happened last episode. And even most of these series aren't particularly connected anyways. But the point is, whenever there's a scene change, there's that flash, there's that different change, your brain just clicks to something new and it catches your attention. You reset. Which is why you have dropped, which is why you have segments, which is why...
Well, it's like, and now,
having this. But
Like you can cleanse your mind of what you were previously thinking about and onto something new.
Yeah, but you don't. You don't cleanse your mind because you're still watching the same thing. It's the same late night type show where they have a little jingle and, oh, we're going to do the top 10. And then it doesn't, it's supposed to get.
You know what I think what you're lending to or what that lends to is a schedule, kind of. Like, I like, for the most, I'm one of the most unscheduled people and I should be scheduled, but something I enjoy for whatever reason. And I guess because it's organizational and it fixes your brain, kind of. It's like, I like, there's this guy on Instagram, which I know is one of your favorite social media.
Absolutely.
He's called Hubs Life.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And he has become famous on Instagram for leading what he calls a normal life. He works a 9-to-5 job. Now he's saying, this is, you know, I live a normal life. And, because what his point of his Instagram is to take away from, you know, Instagram everybody's just trying to flash their Lamborghinis and loads of cash and fly to Miami for parties and then Lollapalooza and then Europe. And they're showing their best possible life ever, trying to make you envious, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh, you know, I'm living my dream, you know, all this stuff. He's like, no. He said his literal hashtag is normalize the norm. He says, I work a 9-to-5. I have health insurance. I have PTO. My wife is pregnant. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy in this space. And almost everyone else, it lives in that area. But he does live, he's got a nice house. Don't get me wrong. He lives in Dallas. He has a nice house. He's got a pool in the backyard. Uh-huh. He's probably a medium. I don't know what the levels are in wealth, but he's not poor.
Yeah, what's the point of
he's not rich.
It's just him just doing
this. Literally, he's just like this. But he will show this is, from my 9-to-5, this is what I do. But he also will show, like, from my 5-to-9. So when he gets off work, this is what I do. And he just literally lists his schedule. 5 to 5:30, drive home. 5:30 to 6.
What's his name?
Hop in the shower. 6 to 6:30.
What's his name?
Get dinner ready. 6:30 to 7:30.
What's his name?
Hub's Life. Eat dinner. 7:30 to 9:30. Pour me a cold snack. That's what he calls his beer, his alcoholic beverages. He does enjoy an alcoholic beverage. He pours him a drink, watches TV in the evening. He works out. He's very regimented. He's a fit man. He's not poor by any means. He's pretty, he's got probably a, I don't know, $300,000 home. He works in the insurance business. They travel. He's very nice looking. You can tell they're of means. I think he probably went to college, got himself a decent job, but he's by no means rich. He's by no means poor. But what I like about it, and I like people that are scheduled 7 to 7:30, this 7:30 to 8, this 8 to 5, I'm working 5 o'clock. This is, if you can stick to that, that's a good thing. And I think that's good for people. And I need that. But it's very hard to do. It's very hard to make yourself stick to a schedule regularly. Are you a scheduled person?
I try to be. I would love to be. But I'm, like most people, I think that it falls into the thing of I do the best when I am scheduled. Like, I want to know exactly what's going on, where I'm going to be. But your point of this Hub's Life guy is what?
The point of him is, well, for my original point was, he often posts his schedule, his morning schedule. Mm-hmm. He wakes up at this time. He eats breakfast at this time. He goes to work out at this time. He takes a shower. He's very scheduled, very regimented. Uh-huh. And that, I like that in my brain for some reason. I like the idea of that. It soothes me.
Okay.
And I don't know why. Like, I like the idea of having the schedule. I think it makes you feel like you're accomplishing things as you go along, even though you're really just doing what you should do. And I've heard that before. That's why, like, you provide these mini tasks for yourself that aren't really tasks, but yet you can check them off. Like, you've accomplished this. I've done this. I've woke up. I've eaten breakfast. I've worked out. I've taken a shower. And like each one of those, when you accomplish that, it kind of makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. So you're providing yourself a positive pattern to motivate you to maintain a positive pattern.
Mm-hmm. So why don't?
Exactly. Why don't I do it? Why don't many people do it? But specifically, I'm talking about myself. I would like to provide that for myself. I could, because I have a very pretty regimented, I wake up at home, I work 8 to 5 from home. I could easily wake up at 6:30, go for a walk for 10 minutes, come home, eat breakfast, take a shower, get dressed, attend my job, and then after work, provide this. And then as you go along, I'm checking this off. I did this, I did that. And that provides a dopamine hit to my brain. Mm-hmm. And I feel good about accomplishing these things. And you feel good about what you've done for the day.
Okay. I'll tell you why, for two reasons. First off, I'll do the first thing. Do you know this Hubs Life guy? He has an Amazon page.
Oh, he's constantly promoting stuff.
So here's the thing. He's not real.
But he hadn't done that until recently.
No. Like Mr. Beast and all these people, they are owned and operated by a promotion agency. These people can buy and pay for followers, and so it inflates artificially because of bots. Regular standard people start watching it. It's all promotion. It's all marketing. This is not some guy like you who decided, I'm going to get on Instagram and live my life, and I'm going to suddenly become this person.
Are you besmirching Hub's Life?
No, I'm saying it's bought and paid for.
I think he started off legit and now he's had success, so he's able to promote stuff.
I can guarantee you he was bought and paid for.
You think so?
Absolutely. This is how it works.
Poor Hubs.
But either way, that's neither here nor there. I'm just bringing that out from the standpoint of why it would be popular. The second thing would be
point number two
would be the reason you don't do it is the same reason why he's not listening to other people like him. Do you think Hub's Life sits around and listens to other people who are living their day-to-day life? No, he doesn't. He's doing his thing. You're getting your dopamine kick because you're watching somebody else do it for you. So stop watching that stuff.
It's not negative.
Yes, it is. It is negative. They have done research that says that if you want to be on a diet, do not tell anybody that you are on a diet. Because when you go to work and you tell your coworkers, hey, I'm on a diet, you get the dopamine kick of being on a diet and then you don't go on the diet.
Well, we're not talking about dieting. I'm talking about living a scheduled life.
Same thing. When you watch somebody else lead a scheduled life, you are giving yourself dopamine because that's why you're watching a same boring, mundane person. It's giving you dopamine.
Why are you attacking?
No, I'm not attacking. I'm saying that's why it works.
I just thought it would be not something.
I know. I'm not attacking. I'm telling.
So is being scheduled not a good thing?
No, you're not listening.
Okay.
You're saying, why don't you do it? I'm telling you. Don't do it because you watch somebody else do it and you get the same high.
Well, we've had this discussion before.
So don't watch it. It's all right if you get the idea, but you don't continually.
Because I wrote in my journal the other day, diary, that I wrote my schedule. I was like, I'm going to wake up
at 6 o'clock
and I'm going to do this. I did that. You know how much of it I did?
Yeah, none of it.
50%. I did 50%.
You woke up.
I woke up. I ate breakfast.
Yeah.
No, actually, I did not because I was fasting. I was trying to intermittent fasting.
So you didn't even do that?
No. I woke up.
Yeah.
Let's see. I had a drink coffee on there. I checked that box.
There you go.
It's all about checking those boxes. Like, I mean, serious. You're looking at me crazy, but it's being able to check the box like I did this.
Okay.
Is mundane and...
Oh, no, that makes sense. It does make sense.
Drink a glass of water as soon as I wake up.
Yeah.
Check that box.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've done something.
Right. That makes sense. I'm not looking at you like that's crazy. I'm looking at you like Gordon Ramsay doesn't sit around watching people cook. He cooks.
Right.
So
right.
People who watch the cooking channel don't cook.
Yeah, that's why social media has ruined the world.
No, it hasn't ruined the world.
I think it has.
No, I don't think it's ruined the world at all. I think it's that people don't use it correctly. Anything that's not used correctly will cause an adverse side effects.
I agree. When social media first started happening, like, I'm not even talking about Facebook. I kind of missed Facebook. I would say Instagram was the first one I really became aware of. Mm-hmm. It was a way to connect with relatives that lived afar off and say, here's a picture of what I'm doing today.
It's your friend.
What are you doing today? Oh, look, my relative 10 states away is, eating eggs apparently for breakfast because that's what they took a picture of. So it was a way of connecting in that way. From there, I think it has severely digressed.
Well, yeah, it's because
it can be used for that.
Yes, if it's used correctly, yes, it's great. And it doesn't cause the same issues.
But what here? But I think issues have developed from that, though, because it is the thing of, oh, my cousin is, oh, look at them. They're not only eating eggs. They're eating eggs in, you know, Hawaii because they're taking a vacation. Hawaii must be nice. And then that whole thing develops.
What thing?
You looking at people living better, seemingly better, more comfortable, luxurious lives than you, and you kind of become jealous.
I've never had that happen.
Not you, but it's a thing. Like, that's like a social media. You look at people on social media, and that's the point of Hub's life, is you don't look at him and say, oh, he's living this fantastic. He's living a nice life like me and you. We have normal jobs, so to speak.
No, Hub's life is to sell stuff on Amazon.
Maybe now. But I think the idea of his was to do that. It's like, no, I'm not in Thailand feeding the tigers as I wake up in the morning eating eggs. Right. I'm working my 9-to-5 job.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying is social media, the idea of it may have started off as, yeah, connecting with people. I get that. But then I think some, I'm sure there's disorders that have developed from social media of,
oh yeah,
I'm so jealous of the life these other people live that I don't have because I'm working my 9-to-5, but they're in Hollywood. You know, they seem to be living these luxurious lives of, you know, they just go around all day partying and that's, they get paid to somehow.
Do you follow anybody like that?
Me?
Yeah.
Who, me?
I'm asking. Yeah.
There was a skater girl that Paige referenced me to. I think she got paid for roller skating. And she, like, ended up roller skating with Usher. And she, like, her life was just skating up and down the beachfront all day. Uh-huh. And you look at that, I'm like, that's pretty nice. That would be nice. And then you kind of, like, look at that person's life. And you're like, it really kind of sucks when I'm sitting here behind my desk typing the keys all day and talking to idiots. And I could be skating for a living. You know, that mentality kind of develops. Not that it has for me, but I'm saying that's a thing. You know that's a thing, right?
I know it's a thing. Okay. I just have,
I think you're like taking this very personally with me. About me specifically.
No, I'm not taking it personally. Here's the thing. I know people say that's a thing.
What?
That is a thing that people get jealous and go all that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that, here's a hot take from me. I don't think that's a thing. I think that that's a thing that everybody thinks is a thing, but I don't know anybody who legitimately feels that way, that follows famous people. I know.
No, famous people.
Any people. I'm saying anybody. They don't feel that way by looking at other. I've never met somebody who has expressed.
I have looked at pictures of people.
Okay.
And I've said to myself, must be nice.
You say that about everything.
Well, true.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just saying. Without having that, I wouldn't think must be nice. You know what I'm saying?
Is there something wrong with the thinking it must be nice?
Must be nice.
Is there something wrong with that?
I mean, I think it just is negative.
What's negative about it? Because by fact,
you're wishing that you were doing something other than you're doing. So you're not content in your moment.
Okay.
You're not content. Okay. It's a lack of contentment.
All right. Now you're making more sense there. Now I'm following you. I was trying to get. Okay, that makes more sense. I will agree with that. That yes, there are people that will look on stuff on Facebook or whatever, and these people are like, oh, yeah, you're no longer content with what you have. Right. That's a personal problem.
Well, it's obviously.
But no, that's a personal problem that can occur without social media with anything.
Well, true. I mean, it existed way before social media.
Yeah, so it's.
But social media has enhanced it.
I would say it has not. I would say that if you're that way, you're that way.
For people that stay home and just browse social media, they're just in a negative well of emotion thinking, must be nice.
So you're getting back to where you're losing me again. You mean that I know that people get negative emotions from looking at stuff online and social media and all that mess. But you mean that you look at other people's stuff and go, that must be nice. And that puts you in a negative. That's a thing that I don't.
No. So you are correct in that is a personal problem. It's a personal issue because you should look at people's lives, especially if you know them or related to them or friends with them and be like, oh, I'm so happy for them.
Right.
But that's oftentimes people, it's hard to be that way sometimes. More often than not, I think people lean towards why can't that be me?
because you're watching stuff on Facebook instead of doing what, instead of skating.
Right.
Okay. That's why it can't be you.
I know you're taking this like very like you.
No.
I'm relating to how the vast majority of people feel.
I'm not relating it to you. I'm saying we're using you as a nebulous person on the face.
And also, at the same time, I have felt those feelings. Okay. I understand those feelings. And that's why I have curbed a lot of my social media.
Right.
Because I don't need it.
That makes more sense. That makes more sense now. The lack of contentment. I guess that's where I was trying to... I don't know. I'm ignorant to social media and to the...
You are.
To the ways that people react to stuff like that. Like, I understand that people will look at something, but it's been a thing for which you hear that all the time. People look and go, oh, I'm jealous. I've never done that, nor do I know people who actively do that. But the lack of contentment, yes. But that's something that happens in everyday life.
Right. But I'm just saying,
and you will be that way no matter what.
Exasperates that.
Okay. I think you'd be that way no matter what.
Because you know why? Completely unnecessary. You interact with people. You should interact with people. When you interact with people and they tell you about their lives, and if you truly care about them and they do something great, you should be happy for them. But social media exasperates this thing of...
Well, I don't think it's totally unnecessary, though, social media. Is that what you're saying?
Social media is... I do not need to have Instagram in my life.
You don't...
I existed for 30, 40 years without social media.
Well, there's a lot of things, and I won't go down the rabbit hole going, well, you don't need this, you don't need that. There's tons of things that you don't need. But I would say, instead of going down that and arguing that particular point, I would say that social media would be a net benefit if used correctly, and people can use it correctly, and that it would be just like a telephone. Like, you would not, you couldn't make it. Do you need your cell phone?
Right. No.
Right. But you would fall out if you didn't have it.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yes. You're always looking at it.
Always. I'm constantly looking
Correct.
At it.
Correct. So the fact is, though, that it is a net positive for you in many, 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 many ways. Correct?
I get you. Yes.
So I think that social media can be a net positive for many people in many ways if used correctly.
And even specifically, I would go with this podcast. We have our Discord, we have our Facebook, and we are able to interact with people we would not normally be able to interact
with. That's my point. It can be a net positive if used correctly, and it provides you with something that you would never have been able to do in the past. It's not without its dangers, of course, that things can happen. But I think a lot of it falls under you as a person and what you allow into your mind and into your thought process and how you yourself are. It can just exacerbate pre-existing conditions, I guess.
Yeah, most definitely.
If you're not a content person.
Most definitely.
Then there you go. If you lack self-control and motivation, well, there you go. And so it's that thing that, yeah, it's going to be a negative if you're that type of person. I don't know how we got off on this regular life stuff.
Know.
Hub's life.
Hub's life.
You're going on about...
Check him out.
I don't know. No, there's no need to check him out. Why do you want to look? Why do you watch him?
I told you because I liked his scheduling.
So you watched it once. Are you still watching him?
Yeah.
Why?
Liked and subscribed.
Why?
Because I enjoy watching him.
But why do you enjoy watching him?
That's a good question.
I mean, that's really what it boils down to is... What is the enjoyment
here's the
from
thing.
It?
That's what this is something, and we many, 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 many other episodes we've discussed this, the difference between me and you. You do things and you say why. You ask why.
Uh-huh.
I don't ask that question. Well, I just do it.
Well, the reason for
and
that.
I should many times. I should. Why am I doing this? Like, what's driving me to this? And that's a good question. Why? And it's a basic question that I don't ask.
Yeah. Well,
it's like, why do I like this? Why do I like this board game? I don't know. You know, that's the thing I always go to. It's like, so for me to, and lots of other people, not just me, but I think there is a, you know, the type of person that is you, and there's a lots of people that are the type of person that are me. You're like, why? I'm doing this. I like this. I don't like this. Why? Whereas me, I'm like, I'm doing this. I like this. I like this. I don't like this. Why? I don't know. I haven't thought that much about it. But it is good to pause and ask why. Why do I like Hub's life?
That's a lot of talking to get back to this question I just asked you.
Because I don't think deeply about things, and I've said that repeatedly. I don't ask myself why.
Well, no, but you like him because he's showing a way that you could be. And then
I guess so.
And instead of doing that.
See, why do I need to ask why? I just come to you.
Well, no, because.
Jerry, why do I like this?
Well, no, because you do. If you do that with everything that you watch or whatever, you kind of you boil down to the reason of something is you're able to distill it down and go, like, you always send me stuff on TikTok. I deleted TikTok.
No, I stopped sending you stuff because you don't respond to me.
Well, because I don't watch it. Because I the one you kept
you
sending me stuff.
You don't respond to me.
No, you kept sending me stuff on TikTok.
Even a text. Like,
I don't have. Listen, I don't have TikTok.
So, you don't need TikTok.
I know.
You just click the link and you can still see it without having TikTok.
But it keeps asking me to download TikTok. So I downloaded TikTok.
What do you have against Chinese viruses?
I had it for 2 hours and realized I can't learn anything
from
this.
Let them have your data.
I don't care about that. I'm just going, I don't care about the fact that none of this stuff can I remember after I watch it. I sit there and watch it, and 15 seconds later, it's off. It doesn't.
It's humorous.
It's not funny to me. It's goofy people.
You post weird memes to Facebook, but I can't post you a link to a TikTok.
But no, my point is that my weird meme, you can scroll by. TikTok is 15 seconds of your life, and that turns into an hour of your life.
I got to read your meme.
But hours, though. I don't cost hours of your life. You spent hours on TikTok, and you've learned nothing from it. And that's why I go, hey, I don't like this because I can't, I know what it does, why I like it, because I did like it. It gives me a little bit of information quickly, moves on to the next thing. 15 seconds, moves on to the next thing. And I'm like, oh, this is just a trap. This is what keeps you entertained and keeps you going.
Ban it soon. What are they going to do?
I don't know. So I delete it. So I've never been.
I don't have it either.
Well, you did. Well,
nor do I shop from Temu.
I shop from Temu.
How dare you? You know they use children as labor, right?
They're just the middleman.
Everybody
does.
How dare you?
You do know it's the same.
My moral integrity sensors are blaring.
You do know it's the same stuff on Amazon, right?
Family values.
You do know it's the same stuff. I can't tell if you're being serious about
it. I can't believe you. Sheen? Do you also shop on Sheen?
I don't know what that is, but I'm about to. That's you, Brit. Is it good? But no, it's that. And so once you realize this is not something that's beneficial, even though you like it, it's like, I'm not messing with it. There's no need for me. You've never listened to a YouTube channel or something or been subscribed to something and go, this is not great. This is not beneficial. It's not that I don't like it. It's the same thing going on. People ranting, raving about the same thing or whatever. And it's just, I'm not enjoying it. I don't personally connect with the person. It doesn't stimulate me at all. So I'm just, I'm.
Sounds like our podcast. Am I right? Self-deprecation.
Anyway.
You don't approve of that.
I don't really know. But the fact is like, yeah, what's the point of that? So it's the same thing with Instagram and Hub's Life or whatever it might be. You watch it because you want that to be you. But by watching it, it's preventing you from being you.
There's
nothing wrong with watching it briefly.
Rock in a hard place.
It's fine to watch a little bit and go, this is what I need to do. But at some point in time, you have to shut it off and go do whatever it is you need to do. There's nothing wrong with being inspired by stuff like that, though. That's one of the great benefits of social media.
Did you know Benjamin Franklin created is there a difference between creating and inventing?
Finish the thing.
The first, this speaks to you. He created the first volunteer fire department in the United States.
Yes, I knew that.
Really?
Yes, that's a thing that's taught.
Really?
Yes, it is.
They teach it in the volunteer fire department school?
No, they teach it in grade school when they teach about
not the grade school
civics and Benjamin Franklin.
Everything's been canceled now.
No, not Benjamin.
Everything you were taught, you can't believe anymore. Franklin did a lot to help others.
You weren't taught this, so you don't have to worry about it.
Including creating the first volunteer fire department in the United States. He believed that fire prevention methods needed improvement. Like, don't build all your houses out of wax. But imagine if they just... Never mind, that's stupid.
Built houses out of wax?
We should stop building our houses out of wax. I think that's a bad idea.
We should try straw. That is a thing that always irks me at every one of these old medieval shows is like one person breaks a lamp and 16,000 people die from a fire.
Do you think they would have learned?
You think that fire would be like a thing you'd all panic about because basically your whole town rests on one person. Like, you know how many house fires we go to in my little town of 5,000 people? Like every month, it's just somebody accidentally setting something on fire. If the town was all made of straw, we would have burnt down numerous times.
I want to say a joke is something that has a straw man argument, but that doesn't hold up.
Close enough.
As a result, in 1736, the Union Fire Company was created and was even playfully known as Benjamin Franklin's Bucket Brigade.
Yeah.
I don't know what school you went to and that you remember that. No, I was never taught Benjamin Franklin created the first volunteer fire department.
Oh, it's in history. They go over American history and you touch on each individual person's life. No, I'm sure there was a section on Benjamin Franklin. It talked about how lascivious? Lascivious, is that right?
Uh-huh.
He liked the ladies.
That was not taught. Back in my day, these men, these founding fathers, were above reproach.
How old do you think they were?
Ben Franklin?
No. I'm talking about the founding fathers when they founded everything.
Oh, I mean, in my mind, I feel like they're 50 and 60.
23. Average age.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They come across because you think of that.
Yeah. They were these mature old men.
There's a bunch of bros. Everybody should have guns, and we should be able to say what we want. Sign it in.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
And his love of his ladies.
Yeah. That were all of them.
In slavery to him. Yeah,
all of them. This is a thing.
It's crazy.
That's American history.
Don't get started on the cowboys and Indians. Back in my day.
I don't think you knew a lot about cowboys.
There's cowboys and Indians.
You weren't back.
Custer was a hero when they taught me in my school.
I love that guy. Oh, no.
We made a huge mistake.
There's a great show about him. It's called Son of the Morning Star. I can't remember, but it's like a B actor that is the place Custer. You'd recognize immediately if you saw him, but it's old. But it tried to tell the story of, it would have a voiceover by a woman who was like Custer's wife. Of like why what he's doing is good. And then it was like a voiceover from an Indian woman that was like, why this is horrible. And it was trying to give both sides of it up to Little Bighorn to where he gets killed. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody else talk about that. But Son of the Morning Star, I remember watching that. And I was like, when I was like younger, getting into history, my dad had that. It's like two VHS tapes. It's like one of those, you know, when the VHS shows were like a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my dad had Shaka Zulu. It was like four VHS tapes or something like that. He had
that. And I like that they would actually print intermission.
Oh, yeah. That was great. But, like, you put it in, like, Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had that box set.
I'm trying to think of an intermission movie that I had.
There's tons of them.
Mom and Dad had. I think Gone with the Wind had an intermission.
I know that Monty Python and Search for the Holy Grail had one, but it was it was funny intermission. It was meant to be like a cut out of one scene to other.
But yeah, they would make these on the VHS tapes like, okay, this is part one, and then you would have to eject the tape.
Spartacus. No, wait. No, Spartacus didn't have one. Spartacus, just the tape ended. You had to put in the
Ben Hur was two.
Maybe been two.
Anyway, we're really giving, thank goodness our crowd is our age. Kids these days, they don't know.
Damon, he's in there going, Dad, let's watch Spartacus. I want to talk about the show. Are you done? Are you talking about Benjamin Franklin?
Wait.
Please get done with all the Benjamin Franklin stuff.
Well, no, he may become our new armadillo.
No, I don't. He's basically our mascot now. It looks like Benjamin Franklin, guy with the little chess piece.
Let's see. Give me just one moment here. Holding. Say something interesting.
I'm still... you want me to talk?
No, just briefly until I find what I'm looking for.
Okay, well, I was going to talk about Snowblind Race for the Pole by Pleasant Company Games was the game I was
looking for. And now, for your pleasure, a board game review.
It was nice that Pleasant Company Games rhymed with that. So, was that our new drop? Is that a drop?
That's an old drop
that we rarely used
when we were going to differentiate. Like, okay, we're going to discuss, back when we were going to we're going to banter, and then discuss a game. Here's where we discuss a game, and then Nigel comes in saying, here's a board game review.
Oh, we did that sometime. Well, Pleasant Company Games, which I looked them up to try to find out which other games they have made. It's because they're like a company I had no idea existed, and I got on BGG, and they literally make no other games that I'm familiar with. And it looks like Snowblind Race for the Pole from 2016 is like their game. But apparently they're still producing games.
To be fair.
To be far.
Snowblind is I mean, I've never heard of this company until you brought this game over.
Right. And well, I had heard of Snowblind simply because it was a Kickstarter? I can't remember if it was a Kickstarter or not.
Now, is it a Snowblind, much like a deer blind, where you would just hide in this tent-like feature and just shoot things?
No. Snowblind's like when the sun reflects off. Well, you're making a joke. Ha, ha, ha. I can't pound off that. But it's basically being blinded by all the light.
Blinded reflecting. By the snow.
By the snow. Blinded
kinda, by kind of really explains itself if you think about it.
Yeah, snow blind. Well, not
what blinded you? The snow.
Well, not everything makes sense because you have like the water truck.
I think.
But the fire department comes when there's a fire and they don't bring water.
You Benjamin think Franklin. You're fire welcome. The truck.
Yeah, there you go.
You're welcome.
So
I think Snowblind was also explained in the mountain climbing movie with Chris O'Donnell.
Vertical Limit.
Vertical.
I'm sorry. That just, I know you said that.
Oh, you just came up with that name immediately. Okay.
Reason why Vertical Limit is on my mind is because the opening of Vertical Limit will scar you if you are a young.
Where his daddy cut the rope.
Yes. They're climbing this mountain.
It's a tremendously good, terrible movie.
It's awful. It's very awful entertaining. Movie. And these
Bill Paxton, the extreme,
and the guy, what's his name? The old dude that was he was in El Dorado, the old Western guy, yeah. Carradine,
David Carradine.
Anyways, these people fall, and they cause all these issues, and the dad's hanging by the edge. He's like, "If you don't cut the rope, it'll kill me and your sister."
Yeah.
Then this poor kid has to cut the rope,
kill his dad,
and then it has the worst cut scene.
Cut.
Yes, because it's cut the rope, and it's just this weird. They could make a rap out of that, and then peaceful, know nothing, and then the guy's body just falls. It's terrible. This will do yourself a huge favor and watch The Vertical Limit, the opening scene, and be traumatized by that for the rest of your life.
You know why I remember that movie? It is one of the rare instances. I was living in Grapevine. My parents came to visit my mother and my father. That's thus being my parents. Mm-hmm. We went to watch that movie in the Cinemark, Tinseltown, just across the road. It is the first movie I have ever had to walk out of the cinema and say, "Can you please turn it down?" It was so incredibly loud. I loved it. I love loud sound, but they had, I don't know if they had the 16-year-old running the sound just maxed it out and forgot, but I had to go outside and say, "Can you please turn the sound down? It is literally hurting all of our ears." But we watched Vertical Limit together. It's so bad, it's good.
Number one during its opening day in December 8, 2000. It had a budget of $70 million. It made $200 million. It was the 17th highest grossing film of 2000.
Looky there.
Man, critical reception. It received mixed reviews, of course. Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4, commenting, "It's made from obvious formulas and pulp novel conflicts, but strongly acted and well-crafted." Oh, yeah, I remember the show. This was such a weird...
Bill Paxton's in it, right?
Yes, it's got Bill Paxton, Bill Paxton, Scott Glenn. Scott Glenn's
Scott
the guy.
Scott Glenn. He looks like a Carradine.
All right, so just so also, for all you nerds out there, and the reason why you should definitely watch this, it also has, you ready, Ben Mendelsohn, the bad guy from Rogue One.
Or Mendelsohn.
Timothy Morrison, otherwise known as Boba Fett.
Really?
He's in it, see? And Alexander Siggig. I can't even say his name, but that's the dude off of... He looks just like the guy that's off Deep Space Nine, but he's also the guy off Battlestar Galactica. They're not the same person. No. I get them confused.
He's the
DS9 guy. Anyways, so great cast, by the way. And also has the dude from Longmire. Who's never in anything. Robert Taylor is never in anything. He shows up for like 5 seconds in movies and they kick him out. Anyways, Vertical Limit. Go watch that.
Go check it out.
It couldn't compete with Gladiator in the year 2000, but it you know. Anyways, so Snowblind. So the reason I have Snowblind is that it's a 1-4 player game. It was often mentioned in solo circles, and so it has a solo. So, of course, I purchased it. Sat on my shelf for some time. And Gobby loves Can't Stop.
Which, indeed,
it's fine.
And I think about making it, quite frankly, my number one game of all time because I've played it literally hundreds of times.
So you like it more than everything else?
And that's a discussion. Like, I'm like, would I play this game over anything else? I mean, it's not that it's temporarily engaging, but
no, don't even get me started. But that's the measure. Just because you play something a lot doesn't mean it's your number
right.
one.
Right, but I also love it.
But it's not doesn't mean that you like it more than everything else. Unless it does, it may very well. You can be your number one.
I
would find that to be.
Would you cast doubt upon me as a gamer?
What kind of gamer are you? Yes, I would.
Can't stop you, number
I would,
one.
Listen, do you see me gritting my teeth right now? It's everything I can. This is going on my Jerry's been a good guy. This is that part of the episode. This is because I didn't lash out.
We do have a drop for that.
No, I don't need a drop for that. There's the drop. I didn't chew you out for that. Gabi also bought me a Lim, the space agency game with a bunch of cats. I played that with somebody. It's a good game. I think Mike Delisio talked about it, liked it.
Yeah,
we're going to play it. Gabi hasn't got to play it, but I want to play it with him and review it. Anyways, my point being is that games that where you push your luck, roll dice, and so forth are things that Gabi loves. Right. I soloed Snowblind here recently and realized Gabi would really like this game. Matter of fact, as an experiment, I brought over this old game and I said, I want to teach you this game because I think that not only is this game, this is a gamified version of Can't Stop. And the theme is, it's the race to the South Pole. You're picking dice off of a board, doing the action that dice allows, and then rolling the dice. And if the dice is over a certain number, considering what your position is or how many resources you have, you get exposure to the cold and you have to waste resources. And you're trying to lead your little team of explorers and scientists and your captain to be the first one to not only make it to the very bottom, I guess, of the South Pole and then back to your ship. And the game will last, this says, about 20 minutes. That's pretty true, depending on how many people is playing the game. But it's a very quick, push your luck dice game that has one little mechanic of just doing an action, taking the dice off that action, and then rolling all the dice that you've collected so far. So every time you do another action, you have to keep rolling all the dice that you've selected. And that's kind of the whole point of the game, which is just moving resources, moving your people, trying to figure out how much exposure you can stand, push your luck, and sometimes your people die and you don't make it back in time or they get exhausted and so forth. I really, really like this game. And I was betting that Gabi would too. And so.
And your bet paid off.
Yes. Because I think that this game, to me, is head and shoulders over Can't Stop. Because this gamifies the game.
I know, but that's why you get into the whole going along. Could this be my number one game? It's a different monster. Can't Stop is just bam, 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 rolling dice. There's no theme. It's just constant nonstop.
This, they take a theme.
This is
add a game to it.
You have to actually think about what you're doing
and a
in this
story
game.
Almost because we're like making fun of each other.
This is the freezing of the captain and they get exhausted and they step out of the tent and freeze to death. It was very humorous. It was not much of a game as it is. I mean, literally, like you said, is Can't Stop with dice, but you got men that can freeze. There's just this theme pasted across it, but it works.
Oh, it's great.
And the artwork helps. The meeples are a little weird looking, but they're like men hunched over in these like super, I don't know what those heavy coats and stuff. It's like they're bracing themselves against the wind as they trudge against the wind. But we were laughing repeatedly because my men kept freezing. And I threw my captain out there, made him like surge for the South Pole to plant his flag and immediately froze. And then the guy I sent to help him also immediately froze. It was humorous. We were literally laughing at this game, at how the silliness of that aspect of it, even though the theme itself is not that fun. I mean, you know, these people like die.
Yeah, this is a thing. People died a lot doing this.
But yeah, I like this game a lot. Do I like it more than Can't Stop? Here's the thing. No.
Why not?
Can't Stop is so just pure, streamlined. You're rolling dice. These are your numbers. Do you want to keep going? I can comprehend that. I can digest it. I can digest it.
Mm-hmm.
And I play another game. Bam, bam, bam. That's not that this game is worse. This game is a superior game, like you've said, to Can't Stop. This game is a thematic Can't Stop. Would I play Snowblind or Can't Stop? I would probably play Can't Stop.
Why?
There you go with that darn question of why.
I have an idea, but I'm just making sure that it's long.
And see, whenever you say that, it just makes me like question everything.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, why?
That's that, because I asked a question. That's why. That's why you're questioning.
Your question's making me question things.
Yeah, why?
I would say because this game has... okay, this is what I would say. This is what I'll say to your question about me questioning things about why. For this game, I have to think about consequences.
There you go. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's because this game, this is why I like this.
You know what? I get real happy when I answer and you're agreeable with my answer.
Well, no, I am agreeable because I assume that's what it would be. When I got this, I was played it. I thought Gobby's going to like this is a I would not want to play Can't Stop here in your house.
Right.
You don't have Can't Stop here in your house, do you?
I do.
Do you play it? No, you play it online.
No, I do not. I play the BGA version because it's far superior to the actual physical copy.
Right. So
clicking the button. So
you're not playing a board game. You're playing an electronic version. You can have that argument later. But in terms of actually playing the board games, mm-hmm. would you play the board game Can't Stop or this?
Yes. You make a good point on that.
Okay. Why?
Because this is something you can sink your teeth into.
Okay. But so that's two things. One, you instantly reverted to, Can't Stop the digital version.
Right.
That's not, I'm not talking about when you're bored and sitting there not talking to anybody. I'm talking about this game here. If we had, and me and you and Enrique, and we played Can't Stop. Can't Stop is fine. Yeah, throw dice, you do your thing.
Yeah.
It would not offer the same interaction, the same...
No.
It's this.
You're right.
You like Can't Stop is because, one, not only the digital version, it's quick, it just boots up, and the screen in your face is giving you dopamine anyways because it's just a screen. But the actual physical game, let's just boil down to Can't Stop. Can't Stop, there is no thinking. It's just the only decision is yes or no. Do I push my luck and roll these dice, or do I stop? This game... is the level of Can't Stop that I can stand, because not only is it that, it's what action are you going to take? Which character are you going to move? It's very limited. It's very simple in what your decisions are. The rule book's very thin. But at the same time, I'm affecting you because you're taking dice. Now I can't use that dice. Mm-hmm. You've added it to your pool. So it is this thing of, do I take this dice? Do I keep going? Do I push my luck? Because it is a race. And not only is it a race that you're trying to be first, but you have to get there and get back.
Yeah.
And so this game is superior to Can't Stop in every single way because of the theme. I will say that Can't Stop, of course, is just a distilled down version of this main mechanic. That's why I said Snowblind is basically a gamified Can't Stop. Same thing with Mill M. It is a gamified Can't Stop with a little bit more to it. And when we play it, I think eventually you're going to probably revert from Mill M to... from Can't Stop to Malim, if it's on BGA, I believe, as well. Because it's the same thing. Roll dice, go decide when you're going to jump off, and it affects other people. There's an interaction. And so this idea of Can't Stop being your number one game, it's not... how many times have you played Can't Stop? No, physically.
Oh, physically? I don't know.
Here, maybe within the past month.
Oh, none.
Past 6 months.
Five times?
Maybe, okay. But on BGA, it's very simple.
Oh, hundreds of times.
I've played Wonderful World probably mm-hmm. god-awful times and thousands of times.
Yeah.
But yet, I wouldn't call it my number one game.
Can't Stop in real life is actually tedious.
Yeah. So, that's my point, is that just because something online or whatever it is, because there's tons of board games that the digitized version of it are better. But in terms of the actual game, the production, and what you get out of it, to me, Snowblind is a hidden gem. I'm glad I brought it, because I think it's something that, this is the gamer's version of Can't Stop. It's light, but yet there's still thought to it.
My only argument, not an argument, is my only thing, I understand what you're saying because you're going towards this point at the top, but then you have to return and go back to the ship. I understand what you're saying as far as a Can't Stop, but Can't Stop to me, you're rolling dice to advance.
Uh-huh.
This one, when you roll the die, you're just trying to dodge damage. So it does kind of remind me, for lack of a better term, the Snowblind actually reminds me of the Expedition,
uh-huh.
the card game, because when you take the damage, you take either the bullets or the food.
Right.
You flip over a card or something.
Well, there's no dice in it.
Really. Yeah. But it does. It's that of you're trying to, mitigate the damage with the die with food. And I really like that about this game is you can carry those crates and or create food in your different locations. And when you roll that damage, you can mitigate that where that it doesn't affect your explorer and fatigue him or kill him. And I like that about this game. And Jerry played, obviously, the better version of the strategy because he slowly moved his people along with their crates up the path and was able to get more people back to the ship after he planted his flag. Whereas I shot my captain up there, and he immediately froze. I shot another guy up there, immediately froze. And you got to, like, carry these crates with you to mitigate damage or build tents. I built tents, but the crates really mitigate the damage, and I did that poorly. But this is a really good game, especially for a game I've never, ever, ever heard of the game or the people or anything about it.
Yeah, this is one of those hidden gems.
Art has got like the dark, like, it's just got that dark, like, ice feel to it, like the Terror. Mm-hmm. Remember the show The Terror, or the book The Terror? It's got this like doom and gloom type of atmosphere to the art, and I really like that. It's a good game.
It's a good game. It's one of these hidden gems.
Do you prefer it solo or multiplayer?
I prefer it multiplayer. I played it solo. I figured out the puzzle on it, and there's better solos. I wouldn't suggest you just buying it for a solo, even though that's why I kind of did, because it got tossed around a lot in the solo forum that I was in. And plus, I love games that this was a game that I had seen when it first came out. It passed me by. I didn't get a chance. There's another game like this that I kickstarted. I can't think of the name, but it has a very similar theme that hasn't showed up yet. But I saw it at last BGG and got it and was like, this is one that's been on my list for a long time. And I didn't realize that it was just how simple the mechanism was just take a dice, roll a dice, and keep rolling these dice and push your luck. And as I'm playing it, I'm going, oh, this is a gamified can't stop, and it's a small box game, really. And I'm like, yeah, this is a, I really like this. And I thought, well, Gombe's gonna like this too. I think with more people it's better, even with us just two. I think with more people, just the race and knowing who's, you know, people are being forced to take dice that maybe you don't want to take. But so yeah, certainly liked it. But that's Snowblind Race for the Pole. I think you can still find copies of it in various places, but this is a hidden gem for me that I certainly did like.
This is something board game related, but something I just found interesting.
And we will put out a review on Malim eventually.
The Hotness.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I think this was number one yesterday.
Fallout.
The power of that show has propelled
Fallout 4, the video game, like broke records again on Steam.
I have downloaded it.
Yeah, everybody downloads it. Nobody.
I played Fallout 3 for probably, I don't know, 15 minutes, and I'm like, I don't really, it's kind of clunky. But then it's like, oh, well, maybe I should check this out. But I find it interesting because Fallout, the board game, I mean, it splashed when just because it's Fallout. Then never heard of it again, but now with the show.
It had the thing where expansion came out and fixed some of the problems, I think.
And, I mean, I wouldn't be against playing it, but I think it's rather a large game along the lines of minis
it's standees? More of an exploration game type thing.
And I don't know. It just didn't make no splash as much as, you know, a board game should of that ilk. And then it came and went, but now it's been number one and number two, and it's in the Hotness, all due to the Amazon show. There's also, and you posted about this in our Facebook group, Mandalorian Adventures.
That's going to be with Corey Kinnear.
I want to check that one out. Complete Missions Together.
He's going to be
a nice co-op game.
He does good sometimes with those co-ops.
I like to check that one out. So those were the two in the Hotness that I was interested in. Not Fallout so much. I just thought that was funny.
Well, you always said that even on the video game, you didn't like any open world thing because you don't know what you're going to do, which I find that's
too much.
Well, it's not too much. You can just go do whatever you're told to do.
I like to know where I'm supposed to go.
Well, it tells you, go here, and you can choose not to.
Yeah, but then I get distracted.
Well, that's the whole point of the thing, is like you get distracted. You don't have to do what the game tells you to do.
Number one is Vantage.
Yeah, I've seen that. That looks pretty neat. That's, what's his name? Stegmaier? Is it the Stegmaier game? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Jamie Stegmaier.
All right.
Look at there.
Jamie hadn't had a hit in a while. Original. You hadn't had a hit in a while.
An original, but Jamie. We'll see what happens.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. This was episode number two of Jerry May or May Not Be Here.
I'll be fine.
He says he'll be fine.
I wanted to bank some episodes in case I died. This will give you a good two-week buffer to recover.
Hopefully, in this time, I found a quality replacement.
Just join Richard. You and Richard and Luke. That'd work.
I don't know.
Or Dan. Get Dan.
I need someone that's going to berate me.
Dan. That way I know.
Dan. I think he's the...
Dan's
he'll
the
call me an idiot.
Gabby.
He does it every time he comes on the show.
He just like, Gabby.
I'm like, I feel like home, Dan. What? It's as if Jerry never left.
What is all this?
Oh, I'm just kidding. If I die
and they get up and it's just get to the pearly gates and it's the Gateway Network. And it's just Dan going, what are you doing here?
Well, I hope you don't die because, Jerry, I love you.
I bet you
and
do.
I hope you're okay.
I'm sure I am.
I hope you are.
I know
I am. I'm looking at you right now in the present. You're a healthy looking man.
I am.
You have a nice luscious beard.
Yours still hasn't grown back.
Well, I mean,
so we've been 30 minutes stuck earlier on it.
It'll be back someday.
One of these days. That anyway. Teaches you for trying to grow a goatee.
Well, we'll see what happens. I'm going to grow a full beard.
Don't
next time.
Do a goatee.
I'm not going to trim it.
Send us an email, boardgamesnob@gmail.com. Express your opinions on goatees.
They're pretty fashionable here in the South.
They're not just fashionable. Saying. No, just because they're here don't mean they're fashionable.
I said in the South.
Just because they're here don't mean they're fashionable.
In Northeast Texas.
No.
R.I.P. Hope you've enjoyed our last couple episodes. Have been more classic BGS.
I wouldn't say they're classic. They're just the same.
No. We veered kind of
veered.
You got to acknowledge.
I'm not acknowledging. Why you got to be so meta?
I like to be very meta.
There's no need to be meta. Just sign off. You got one
classic.
Job.
You know
you
what?
You spelled the beginning. Are you going to spell the ending?
B-Y-E, B-Y-E.
No, it's B-U-H-B-Y-E.
Bye-bye. That's going to do it for this
then
episode.
Then you say bye-bye or do you say goodbye?
B-U-H-B-Y-E.
Bye-bye. It'd be funny if I don't.
Thank you for tolerating this episode of the Board Game Snobs. Stay classy. Thank you.